Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I am your host, Tony Black, and this time we're not looking at another episode of The X-Files. Our Season 2 coverage will continue. We're heading racing towards Anasazi now, so we're very close. But I am really excited to take a little bit of a body swerve this week and talk about the comics universe, The X-Files continuing comics universe. And it's a real pleasure to have back on the show after his first appearance last year, Matthew Dowsmith, the writer and creator of The X-Files Origins. Welcome back, Matthew.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, Matthew. It's really great. And you've been kind enough to come back on to discuss some of the comic projects you've been involved in lately with The X-Files, because there's quite a lot going on in The X-Files comics universe. And
yeah, we've been really busy.
Yeah. It's been fantastic. IDW Publishing have been keeping you guys busy the last couple of years. So it's brilliant. It's a really fertile time for the comics universe, for the X-Files right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting, especially now that we know the show's coming back again. So very, very excited about it. It's always weird because you kind of, like, in a way, we've been waiting for the announcement because we know they've been talking for a while. I'm sorry, we have to go down to X-Files fans nerddom for a little bit.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, but we are, like, as the comic book team, like, we actually get a little nervous about it because we've got to deal with, you know, whatever new things they're going to do. And when it's not on the air, we have a certain amount of freedom to kind of wander around a little bit. But when the show comes back, we all go, okay, wait, what are we going to have to do now? But yeah, I'm super excited. And, you know, we've been waiting for it for a long time now. So
while we're on the subject, what would you like to see from season 11 then? What kind of things are you hoping they'll do in this new season?
I don't even bother. I don't even bother trying to try. I mean, I'd love to see Doggett back. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but I mean, I've been rewatching a lot of the final season stuff, and I just, you know, I love Doggett. He's such a great character.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him again. And, you know, it's like little stupid fan stuff like that. Like, I'd love to see Doggett. I'd love to see them do something with the new kids.
Oh, Miller and Einstein.
Yeah. You know, I would love to see them develop them a little more. You know, I think Chris Carter is going to do whatever Chris Carter wants, and we'll all be along for the ride. Sure. You know, and there'll be things we like and things we don't like, but, you know, that's what being an X-Files fan is all about.
Exactly. Yeah, so, if you can't live with that right now, then you've been watching the wrong show for like 25
years.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, seriously, go watch Star Trek or something. Complain about that for a while, too.
Yeah, definitely. Jump fandoms, definitely. But no, it's some good ideas there. I mean, yeah, Doggett would be. I think a lot of people would love to see Doggett again. I'm not sure the relationship between Robert Patrick and the X-Files guys is as great as it once was. That's the hints you get on social media a little bit.
I think the public statement was that he just kind of had moved on. He was kind of done with the character. And, you know, if that's true, I certainly would understand that. You know, he's off doing other stuff. And, you know, it would be like me kind of going back and doing, you know, one of my really early comic book characters again, you know. Yeah, it would be fun, but also, you know, you already did it. So, you know, there's always kind of a push-pull. I think he's a great character. I think he has a lot of potential. I loved that Joe and I got to do some Doggett stuff in the Season 10 comic. Because Robert Patrick is really, really fun to draw. He's really hard to draw.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he actually really is. He and Skinner are actually probably the two toughest to draw. But, you know, I love the character, and there's so much more you could do with him.
Absolutely. You never know. I mean, you know, no, I don't think anyone thought that Monica Reyes was going to come back. And, you know, she popped up.
Yeah.
So you never know. It's entirely possible. There might be a few surprises yet waiting for us. But we'll soon find out. We think it might be January, February, maybe March next year now. So that's what they're saying, mid-season. So we've only got about another 7 months to wait. So, you know, we'll see.
Seven long months.
Seven long months, yes. But we'll get there. We'll get there. So while we're waiting for season 11, we have, in no small part, all these comics to tide us over in many respects. And obviously, the big one that we're here to talk about today is your sequel comic to The X-Files Origins. And obviously, you came on last autumn to talk about The X-Files Origins, which is your comic, yours and Jody Hauser's and the team at IDW, about a young Mulder and Scully when they're in their teens. You mentioned then you were hopeful that you'd get a sequel, and we have Dog Days of Summer, the second.
Yeah, they let us do another one.
Yeah, which is beginning in June, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, June. It's like the end of June.
So let's talk about it. So what can you tell us about Origins then? What after the end of the last one? Where does this story pick up, and what new things do Mulder and Scully get into?
Well, we pick up about a week after each story. So if you haven't read the comic, it's a double-sided comic. And the first part, it's Mulder when he's – now I'm gonna get the age wrong – when he's 13?
Yeah, I think he is.
It's Mulder on Martha's Vineyard with his family when he's 13. And the other side is Scully in San Diego when she's 13. So there's 4 years, I think, between the two events. But we pick up a week after – each story from the first season and sort of begin to build a new mystery for them. You know, it was kind of tricky because you want this to be a sort of standalone thing where someone can kind of just jump in on the first issue and know what's going on. But it also builds on what's happening in the first series. So it was kind of an interesting puzzle piece to kind of put together. But there's a bigger story I'm trying to tell, and you know, Jody and Chris Finolio and Corin Howell, who are the artists, and Jody is my co-writer and handles the scripting on the Mulder side. You know, we've all been working really hard to sort of make it work as its own thing. Now, that's sort of the PR side of it. The other side of it is it's really, it's so much fun. It's just insane to sort of, if you haven't read the first series, we're being very, very tricky, and the stories are more connected than you realize, and having a lot of fun building in those connections and stuff. I'm not embarrassed to say I giggle like a schoolgirl when I'm working on these things, because you'll suddenly realize, oh wait, and then we can do this, and that'll tie into that, and then oh yeah. But this is this is the sort of big next step in their sort of development as people, and Mulder's sort of journey towards becoming the character that you know as an adult, and the same for Scully, and we just keep throwing crazy stuff at them. So it's a lot of fun. Hopefully they'll give us a third one, because this one is very much the Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. If this is a trilogy,
I was about to ask that. Yeah, is this your Empire Strikes Back? Yeah,
this is kind of the Empire Strikes Back. And if they let us get away with the ending that I'm hoping they will. It's going to end on the interesting part. Well, you'll see something in the Mulder story that you heard about in passing in the show. That's a big event. And then hopefully if we can do the third one, we can kind of continue to build on that. But, you know, it's always tricky. You never know if you're going to get a third one. So we have to make this complete in and of itself. And, it's really a minefield, but it's so much fun. And there's such great characters, and it's so much fun to really explore sort of where they came from, because they're really complicated people.
They are complicated. And I think what I liked was that in the first Origins series, you managed to keep what their characters true to themselves, even though they're a lot younger, with their different ways of exploring these mysteries. But then there were extra elements, like Mulder had friends. I really like the fact Mulder had friends, and he had this little, Scooby gang around him who he was, investigating this, what happened to the pilot in the first series. It's great that little things like that exist to actually, remind us that, they were kids once. They had these different lives, but they were still the same kind of people. So is that thread continued through this new run?
Yeah, that thread's continued, and it becomes increasingly important. Again, they're both very similar people in a way, but they're also very different. So, Mulder has friends. He's got a little Scooby gang. And yeah, we do use the term Scooby gang.
It's got to be done.
You just kind of have to, he has his little group of friends, but Scully is kind of a loner. She has this one friend, Mercy, who, if you've read the series, that's interesting.
Very.
Yeah. So we're still, we're still playing with the characters. We're still playing with the characters as they are. And, we build on that a lot in the second season. And the fact, his friends, his relationship to one of his friends will become very important in the ending again, if they let me pull it off. I mean, they will. They've never said no. They've never said no to anything I've ever suggested. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, and it's worked so well so far. You know, we had the first Origins book was great. You know, it did some really, yeah, it was, and it did some really interesting things with the with the story and with these characters. What the big thing being that it's kind of it's clouded the mystery of Scully's family as well, and the characters around Scully, and it's made, without too many spoilers for anyone who hasn't read the first Origins, it's created more interesting elements that, like you say, you know, interweave with Mulder's story and everything. I really like the fact that by the end you get the sense that there are sort of two different but interlinked stories, and I'm hoping, yeah, like you've mentioned, that carries on.
Yes, that definitely carries on. There again, the mystery that Mulder is sort of exposed to. So the basic setup is he meets a young deaf girl and saves her from almost being run over, and that starts a chain of events that leads to some very strange and some very bad things. And the Scully story begins with a terrible plane crash that's actually, unfortunately, based on a true event in San Diego around the same time. There's a horrible crash that happened, a plane crash in the city itself. So, but we build on that when it's revealed that the pilot of the plane that crashes into the passenger plane is somebody you know from the first series of the Scully story.
Ooh, okay.
So, and that sets off a whole other thing. So, oh yeah. It's going to get very strange.
It wouldn't be the X-Files.
It would not be the X-Files. Yeah, and this, you know, it's the most fun part is as part of my research for the project, I watched a lot of the first season stuff just to make sure I got sort of the tone of everything right. And I love watching those first few seasons of the show. So, I mean, it's a rough life. My job is really difficult.
Yeah, it's tough. Oh yeah, but no, it's good that all these elements sync up and link up. And I think one of the big things I was wondering was, in terms of approaching a sequel, you know, because in a sense, I mean, it's a continuing story, you know, in many respects. But you're adding new story elements into the part, like you say, this plane crash, you know, all these different elements that advance and enhance the story, like the X-Files itself, you know, did in the TV show. What's the challenge there in terms of coming up with new ideas, but ones that continue this ongoing story and these character threads?
Well, I mean, the main challenge, or at least the thing that I probably spend the most time kind of thinking about, is adding things to the mythology that don't disrupt the mythology as established. You know, the trickiest, it's a little easier with Mulder, because when we first see Mulder, he's Mulder. He's Mr., you know, Mr. Investigative. You know, but Scully is kind of a scientist. Scully isn't, at that age, Scully, it's really tricky. Like, she's not an FBI agent yet. So we're seeing the things that sort of lead her to develop those skills. And we're sort of seeding in a few fun things, like, you know, she likes reading mysteries and stuff. But yeah, so it's adding events, adding continuity elements that don't disrupt who they are when they're older, but sort of bring an extra layer. So the stuff with the stuff that we won't spoil about series one, you know, there's stuff with her dad that we worked really, really hard to make sure, both in series one and series two, that doesn't go against anything we know. We're just building it so that there's stuff that happened that we just didn't know yet, or that Scully didn't know. And so it's a really interesting sort of tightrope. I mean, I always talk about these things as puzzles. You know, you set out with a goal, and then you have, especially with an established continuity like this, you have puzzle pieces, and then it's finding little linkages between the puzzle pieces. I'm a nerd. I'm a massive freaking nerd. I love doing this sort of stuff. It's so much fun.
Oh yeah, it would be. It would be. That's part of the beauty of something like the X-Files, is those continuity points and things like that. On that subject, I was wondering how much in terms of continuity and overlap there's been with the young adult novels written by Jonathan Mabry and Cami Garcia. Yeah, because it was Devil's Advocate and Agent of Chaos. And I remember Jonathan saying when he came on the show earlier in the year that they were being written with these comics in mind, that there would be a level of continuity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think our main thing is trying not to contradict each other in any sort of way. I mean, Jonathan and Cami, who are absolutely fantastic people, I've met Jonathan and I've talked to Cammy a couple of times. They're both tremendously talented and very nice people. We're kind of not coordinating day to day. We're mostly working through editors and through Fox. But yeah, we don't want to contradict each other in any sort of way, you know, but also at the same time, you have to tell your own story. Again, it's like puzzle pieces. They have to go and kind of do what they do, and we're kind of going and doing what we do, and we're kind of trusting everybody to say, okay, this is a problem.
Yeah.
and then you go, oh, okay. You know, but there are fun little things. You know, there will be a moment, which will not be a massive spoiler, but working in, you know, that Mulder likes reading science fiction and things like that that are kind of nods to what Mayberry was doing with his Mulder story and things like that. But yeah, you know, it's tricky. It's like running a TV show, except without the massive paycheck.
Without the level of money.
Yeah, without that level of money and not having to live in LA. but yeah, so we're coordinating a bit. You know, I think, you know, I wrote, once they greenlit series 2 of X-Files Origins, I wrote a breakdown of the entire thing, which gets sent around to everybody. That sort of changes as we actually write the issues. But yeah, so, you know, there are documents that people can refer to and make sure none of this stuff contradicts. But they're, you know, they're totally different times of their lives.
Yeah.
There are things there. Yeah. I mean, it's like the difference between when you're in middle school and when you're in high school, you know, they're like two different universes. So
I think it's nice that and from what I gather when I talk to fans and things like that, fellow fans, it's that whole, there is that level of appreciation of that continued, you know, element of continuity and mythology without, obviously, you know, it'd be very difficult from different mediums, whether it's books, comics, TV show, to all sync up completely. And I think it's a little bit unrealistic of fans to expect it completely in that way. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's always nice when there are little nods and callbacks. And I'm sure, from what I remember, in the young adult novels, I'm sure there are one or two little references to the first season of Origins. And I'm sure,
oh, cool,
Jonathan mentioned this, that the tiny little references, but if you've read the comics, you can go, ah, okay. And that's really good, isn't it? That's really nice to be able to see that little level of continuity.
And, you know, their approach to it is the same as mine in that, you know, like, I don't want to, like, draw a big sign that says, look, we're referencing something. You know, it should be something that just, when we make little references to things, you know, we want them to be things that you kind of, you know, the fans would go, oh, cool. But other people would just be like, okay, whatever. You know, and it's a very, very tricky tightrope to walk. But, you know, so there are little nods to little things, little mentions to little things. And those are just fun as fans.
Definitely. Does Chris Carter have any say over any of this still? Is he still
approve everything? Yeah. Everything that we do goes through the X-Files office and has to be signed off on, and they never make us change anything. Okay, I guess that's cool then. Yeah, no, they approve everything. They read everything. You know, there are people at Fox who read and approve everything. So there are a lot of hands that this stuff goes through. And really, you know, for the most part, both on this and on the X-Files ongoing series, they just kind of let us run wild. You know, they let us kind of do whatever we want. But, you know, we're fans of the show, so we're trying to make it work, you know, as complimentary to the show. So, you know, if there's something we miss, it's good to have sort of that safety net of them saying, well, actually, you can't do that because, you know, and that's good, you know, because they're always, you know, there's 9 seasons of the show, and everything we know about Mulder and Scully's past is usually just like a one-off line in, you know, an episode while they're dealing with some other mystery. Like, she'll mention the song that was playing when she heard that her Sunday school teacher had been killed. And it literally was a throwaway line. So catching that stuff, you know, is important if we get a detail wrong. But, you know, but for the most part, Carter has been fantastic and just kind of lets us go.
It's, I think it's great, the level of, you know, the level of trust that they'll just let this happen. They'll let these comics happen. And this, you know, the universe widen, you know, understanding that this property doesn't just have to be the TV show. And it doesn't. And in this, you know, in this age of multimedia and the fact that, you know, you have comic platforms, books, all these video games, all these different things around a TV show or a movie, it's great that we get to expand the universe and we get to see these characters at these different ages and tell these stories that are still X-Files, you know, because that's the thing. That's what I really liked about the first Origins. It still felt like the X-Files, even though it was children, and that was great.
Well, the second one will feel even more like the X-Files, because I figured out kind of the trick of X-Files episodes is to make it feel like you've had a complete experience, but then you still have to leave things dangling. There always have to be mysteries to be solved, and you never have all the answers. You know, I wrote several Doctor Who stories during Moffat's run, and I discovered while writing those stories, there always had to be one element that didn't quite make sense, and it didn't feel like a Moffat-era Doctor Who story until there was that one element that, if you thought about it, was like, hang on.
Yeah.
But it's true, but The X-Files has a similar thing where, you know, you have to have a complete experience, and yet there's always something that's incomplete. So, and we worked very hard on that, both on series one and series two, that things would be wrapped up, but not quite.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, very, very Empire Strikes Back.
Absolutely.
Actually, I'm thinking about the ending now. I'm laughing at what an idiot and a crazy person I am to do this. But yeah, no, we're gonna go there.
Have you written, Matthew, have you written a sequence where the smoking man tells Mulder, I am your father?
Is that what you've done? You know, now that you mention it, give me 1 second. I got to write something down. The funny thing is we actually researched. Chris and Corin are both huge Star Wars fans. So we researched the release dates of Star Wars. So if we could make Star Wars references, we could. And the timing doesn't quite work. But, you know, we thought about it.
Because you're in the right year, aren't you, for Mulder? For Scully, because it's 1977?
For Scully, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And it came out that summer, the summer of 77. So, I mean, at some point we'll make a reference to it. But, you know, it means that poor Chris, who draws the Mulder side of things, he doesn't get to make any shows.
Poor Chris. So, yeah, apart from Dog Days of Summer, obviously, there's that you've got more X-Files irons in the fire.
Oh,
we
yeah.
just had the really unique and original Funko Universe comic release, the one shot, which you contributed a story, Escape to Space Mountain.
Escape from
Space Mountain. I apologize.
Which I still can't believe they let me call it that.
Was it the film that was called Escape to Space?
It's Return to Space Mountain.
Return to Space. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
And I think there was a sequel, but I don't remember what the name. Escape from Space Mountain and Return. I can't remember now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, whatever. They let me call it that.
Yeah. But that was, I put in my review, that was, and I mean this, that was genuinely my favorite one, actually.
Oh, thanks.
Of four of them. They were all really good. They were all really fun. What was it like to be involved in that? Because that's a really interesting little one-shot.
Well, it was bizarre. I was actually on vacation and I got an email from Denton, who's basically like, all right, X-Files, Funko, what do you got? And it's like, I was at my parents' house. I'm like, and anytime they let me write anything, I jump on it. So I ran upstairs and just came up with five completely insane ideas. It was a lot of fun, actually, because I don't get to write comedy. My very first writing, as I used to in college, I kind of was the lead writer on a weekly sketch comedy show on radio.
Okay.
So that was sort of the first real writing I did. So every week we were turning out a 40-page script or something. And, you know, I grew up on Douglas Adams. I worship Douglas Adams as an unfortunately no longer living god.
Mm.
So I got to just go nuts and do something funny. So I came up with five ideas and sent them off. And then after sending them off and they went to Fox, I realized, wait, all of these stories hinge on the fact that Mulder's an idiot. I've clearly discovered a theme. But it was really, it was a really interesting idea. And to be able to kind of just cut loose, I mean, I think I said it, they did a little interview with us that went up on the IDW site where they basically were talking about, you know, so what were the challenges of this kind of thing? And it was like, you know, there, it wasn't a challenge. It was, you know, you take the idea of the X-Files and try to boil it down to its basic essence.
Yeah.
And then think of the things that annoy you. Think of the things about the setup that are like, just kind of get on. Like, you know, the fact that I think Mulder's kind of an idiot. I think Mulder just sort of bumbles into stuff that he doesn't understand. And gets himself in trouble, and then that gets everybody around him in more trouble and often puts their lives in danger. So I basically did a story where Mulder just blunders into something.
But that's what I liked about these, because I think I put this in my review. It reminded me of the comedy episodes of The X-Files, because that's exactly what happened. In those, Mulder would act like an idiot, or he would blunder into something, or he would just get involved, and he'd end up just looking like a fool. So it fitted, I think, the Funko one shot fitted really well into that, and it felt like that in a comic form to me.
Well, good. I mean, because that's kind of what I was going for, was to do just like take Mulder and just take him to the extreme the way they do in the comedy episodes, where they, I mean, you know, it's funny because the comedy, Mulder is Mulder, and yet usually they'll sort of push one element of his personality forward a little bit more. So that's exactly what I did. And I get to have an alien call Mulder an idiot. So, yeah. Which, again, can't believe they let me do that.
I think it ends on a really nice gag as well with Scully. That made me chuckle at the end. Yeah.
Oh, good. I was worried that joke wasn't going to land.
No, it did.
We made it really subtle. So, no, I mean, that really, I would do more of those in a heartbeat, because they really were a lot of fun. And, you know, they got to bring a bunch of people in and just kind of, again, you know, let us run wild. I love Den's story. The Bigfoot story.
Yeah.
It's only like 4 pages, but it's like a perfect tight little story. So it's really, I mean, you know, again, as the guy who enjoys these kind of puzzles, they're interesting challenges, but they're so much fun.
Yeah.
And I got to make fun of comic book sound effects, which always drive me crazy.
I think for the fact that, you know, Funko in the X-Files isn't necessarily a fit you would imagine perfectly. I think from what it is, it works really well. And I think it's 4 fun little stories that try different things. Yeah, it's really worth checking out, guys. It really is worth checking out. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks.
It's a lot of Funko. I apologize.
Oh,
that's terrible.
Yeah, dude, you're really...
I am known for my bad puns. I'm the idiot.
this is a new low point for you. I mean, you know, the funny thing with the Funko stuff is you can kind of do it with any character. And do something fun. But there is something about the X-Files that I think really lends itself to this kind of story. Maybe it's just because of the comedy stories that we've already seen that aspect of the X-Files.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, that's what I got from it. So it could be. I think if you're a fan of the comedy stories of the X-Files, and let's face it, most people are, I think you will enjoy the Funko. Absolutely. The other main thing you've been working on still is the main comic series, isn't it? The ongoing title. The ongoing title with written by Joe Harris, who obviously was on the show a few weeks ago talking about this. And you're the artist on the last 4 issues, aren't you? The Resistance arc, which is starting, I think, this month, actually, or at the end of this month, if not the start of June.
Yeah, I want to say June. I mean, yeah. I'm like neck deep in wrapping it up. So time has lost all sense of meaning to me. It's May, right? I'm pretty sure it's May. I looked that up earlier this week.
So, and Joe on the show did reveal that Resistance was going to be the final arc, the final 4-part arc for now anyway. So that must be exciting to be part of that, Matthew, and be involved in wrapping this
up. Yeah. Have you heard from Joe recently? There's a chance we locked him in a silo with Krychek.
Did you give him the black oil first? Is he infected with the black oil?
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Of course. Totally. Totally infected with the black oil, which actually, you know, is somewhat fitting when you read Resistance. Mm. Not to give anything away.
No, spoilers.
No spoilers. And actually, black oilers, in a very interesting way, is not a spoiler. Yes, I'm working on a 4-part. I'm returning as the regular artist for a special 4-part story called Resistance, written by Joe Harris and colored, as always, by my fantastic cohort, Jordi Belair. So, yeah, it's a fun story. I mean, I think it's probably, you know, it's Joe unleashed in a lot of ways and bringing together a lot of ideas that he's been building up for his entire run on the X-Files. So it's fun. And, you know, we explain a few mysteries and we reveal a few really cool things, including a pretty big tie to not just the show, but to the movie, the first movie, Fight the Future, which involved me drawing cornfields, which might be a spoiler. Ah. I hate drawing cornfields. And Joe keeps making me draw them. So yeah, so it's gonna be a really interesting story, and it involves revealing the past of one of our new characters that we've brought in for the revival comic.
I'm gonna take a guess and reckon that's Firas Ben-Brahim, the character from Came Back Haunted. Because
do I have to lock you into a silo too with Joe and Krychek? Yeah. We reveal who he is, or more specifically, we reveal sort of what his backstory is and what his motivations are. Which you know, in typical Joe style, I mean, that's the thing with Joe is that Joe's just really good at writing the X-Files. Mm. So he found a way to tie it into past continuity, but also to bring sort of something new to it. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm you know, sucking up to the guy, but, you know, he's really good at this.
He is. Yeah.
It's true. Really crazy. So yeah, so it's a fun story. I just wrapped up, the next to last issue. So, so begins the last issue of the arc.
Yes. The last issue of the arc. Mm.
We'll have announcements at some point.
It sounds really interesting. It sounds like it's going to culminate what we've been enjoying for the last well over a year now, to be fair. And it's been it's been a really interesting. I think it's been really interesting to see this develop. You know, from when we went from Joe wrapping up the season 11 arc and then doing the ongoing comic series, you know, and I know you've been involved in many of them, and it's been great to see it sort of develop and within that certain, you know, more enclosed box. You know, you've been able, I know Joe hasn't quite been able to do some of the things he did in season 10 and season 11, keeping with the continuity. So it's been great to see that story steadily build. So that's why I'm really looking forward to Resistance.
Well, good. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. You know, it's a tricky thing. Again, you know, there's a difference between doing this book when the show has been off the air for, you know, decades, and doing it when the show is back on the air, you know, because you can't compete with it. You have to complement it. And I think Joe's very good at that and finds new things to explore within the setup. And that's really the trick of doing these things when you're doing media tie-in things, because they're, you know, part of it has to be for the fans, and part of it has to be, you know, little winks and nods to things that you and I know about.
Yeah.
But, you know, but you still, you have to tell a good story, and you have to tell a good story that Chris Carter and the writing staff have not thought of already.
Yeah. Yeah.
In now 10 going on 11 seasons of this show. So, yeah. So I do not envy Joe, but he loves the show and he's amazingly good at it. I just wish he made me draw less camels.
Camels and cornfields. Yeah. Less of those.
Was that issue 14? It was either issue 14 or 15. I'm never going to forgive him for that. Have you ever tried to draw a camel? You think it's easy.
I just, like, I get to the hump and that'd be it. I'd be like, right, I can do that bit.
Yeah. But... yeah. That's, you know, and there's a guy sitting on the hump and he's got a gun. And there are three more behind him on other camels. So, yeah, really. Joe and I are going to have a long conversation before we work together again.
Yeah, so. Draw up a no camels, no cornfields in your contract, sorted.
Oh, well, he'll just find something new to annoy me with. That's pretty much how it goes.
Well, there's loads of things, guys, out there to be enjoyed over the next few months in terms of the X-Files comic universe. So it's been really good to have you back on, Matthew, to talk about this and to give us some little hints and teases and a little bit of the background to these comics and what we've got coming up and what's already out. So thanks so much for coming back on and talking the X-Files.
Thanks for having me. I love nerding out about this stuff. You know I do.
Yeah, definitely. And we all need I know we haven't got Dog Days of Summer yet, but we all need part three, guys. We all need the third one. So
I sure hope so. Yeah. It would be absolutely incredible if we got to do that sort of next part of the story. So we'll see.
We need Return of the Jedi, guys.
Believe me, especially if they let me do what I'm planning on doing. We're going to need a third one.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys need to go out and buy Dog Days of Summer, okay, which will be out, which will be starting in, as we say, in June. So keep an eye out for the exact date. And then we need to keep track of that. Get the sales up so we can get number three. And
don't forget, there are the regular covers by Chris and Corin, and then there are also the fantastic variant covers by Kat Staggs. So I'm just saying, you might need to buy two.
I don't see a problem with that. Come on, guys.
I don't either. Please, I want to do series three.
Get out there, buy all the variants. Let's help Matthew and the IDW team out, because they're doing some amazing stuff right now. You can buy right now the Funko Universe one shot, which is out, all from IDW again, with Matthew and Denton Tipton and more great writers and artists involved. So get on that, because it's a lot of fun. We've reviewed that. You can find that on our Facebook page and our Twitter page via Flickering Myth, who are good enough to help us out with that. And Resistance with that Matthew's working on with Joe Harris and Jordi Belair, as he says, he's out. He's starting in June for the next few months. So we've got like so much X-Files.
Yeah, a lot of X-Files.
It's amazing. Even though we're waiting for the show, we've got so much. It's brilliant.
Yeah. No, I love how this is all working out.
Yeah.
Get a nice little taste before the return.
Absolutely. Am I right in thinking as well that Origins Series 1 is out in trade now?
It's out in trade now. It's also available digitally on Comixology, which is how I've been picking it up.
Awesome.
Because I've got a small apartment.
Yeah. I am intending to buy it on trade because I've got all Season 10 and 11. So I want to get Origins in trade. So let's pick up the issues of the new one, guys. Go and get Origins in trade, even if you bought it in comic form, because it's going to be, I've got a few of the ones in comic form, but in traditional one issue, but go out and get it in trade, guys, because that's great and that'll help as well. So yeah, you'll be back eventually, Matthew, whether it's talking about this or we are going to get you on the show to talk an episode of the show at some point as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am so down for that.
We will, for sure.
Cool.
Until then, where can you point people to online to find out more?
You can find me on Twitter, Matthew Dowsmith. You can find me on Facebook, Matthew Dowsmith. There's a fan page. Matthew Dowsmith artist. I'm very easy to find. I've got a matthewdowsmith.blogspot.com. I mean, literally, just type in my name, you'll find me. There'll just be a picture of me smiling like a doofus saying, hey, you want to talk about Doctor Who and X-Files?
Yes.
I'm very easy to find. So come talk to me, tell me what you think of the project so far. Always love to hear what other fans think of the stuff.
Brilliant. Get over there, guys. Get on that. For more great stuff from Matthew. We are available on Twitter as well. Available makes sound like we're selling ourselves. We're available to buy on Twitter at the X_cast. So do follow us, because there's loads of stuff going on. We've got the X-Files episode tournament round 3 draw coming up very soon for our Twitter tournament, and we've got some really exciting things in the pipeline as well, apart from our normal episodes. Keep posted on there, also on Facebook as well, with our page and the X-Files podcast fan group, which is now well over 200 members. It's growing. Loads of great X-Files chatter every day. Get in there, guys. Get involved. It'd be great. And if you can like us and leave us a review even on iTunes, that'd be even better, because that'll help us become even more known and even more famous among the podcast world. So until we see you again, Matthew, just remember these important words.
Yes.
Trust no one.
Of course.
The X-Cast is produced and presented by Tony Black, part of the Black Hole Media podcast network. Title music is courtesy of Will A, who you can find on Twitter at IAmWillAYE.